powerful hymn. Thank you, Jim. Well, I promised Connie that I would not preach a full sermon today. But we are studying a book by Max Lucado called Fearless. And I chose for this chapter, sermon or homily, the chapter Woe Begone. You know, I get asked all the time by people, particularly young people or men, why do we sing so much in church? After all, I come to worship to hear about God and to pray. I don't come to sing. I can't tell you the number of times I've had to answer that question as a pastor. And so I'm going to explore my thoughts today very briefly. But I'm not going to give you the full story, because Kirby Sekovic has already been preparing a sermon for you this summer where he's going to provide 8 reasons that we should be singing in worship. So I'm going to leave it to July 9th when Kirby preaches to have an all-intensive answer to that question. But as Max Lucado suggests, we never seem to have enough. That's the problem in life. Shortfalls and depletions inhibit our trails. Not enough time, not enough luck, not enough credit, wisdom, intelligence. We're running out of everything, he says. And so we worry. Well, that's what the chapter's all about. As he explores that statement of Jesus in Matthew 6. Where Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are we not far more valuable to Him than they? Can all our worries lose a single moment of our lives? Lucado notes that frets won't fill a bird's belly with food, or a flower's petal with color. Birds and flowers get along just fine, and they don't have to take antacids. What's more, you can dedicate a decade of anxious thoughts to the brevity of life and still not extend 1 minute of that life. You see, worry does accomplish zero, really. Hear the word of the Lord found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 24, as Jesus teaches us about worry. He says, no one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one or love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they are? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not so much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will I eat, or what will I drink, or what will I wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for these things. And indeed, your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. May God bless the reading of His word. Will you pray with me? Lord, as we briefly unpack this, Scripture, will you give us your direction in our lives to release and to fill our lives with the joy of your music that vibrates through us to life? To that end, take the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of our hearts together. For you are our rock. You are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I get told all the time that I'm whistling or humming a song. And I get asked this question very frequently. Hey, Pastor Bill, you must be in a good mood because you're whistling today. And I've thought about that. You know, it's not always true that I'm in a good mood when I'm whistling or humming. But then as I think about it, I'm often mulling over things in my mind, but it's always a positive. I'm always striving to solve something and totally unaware that I'm blasting someone out. But what I do notice is I never whistle when I'm worrying. I never hum when I'm worrying. You know, Jesus had this sense of goodness in his ministry, in his life. His spirituality was miles away from some of the Platonic philosophers of his age who insisted that this world was nothing but a mere place of shadows, a place to be delivered from. He loved life. His teaching grew out of his own experience. He told his followers not to worry about tomorrow, but to live life today and to live with all of the energy and hope that they could muster. He told us we needed to make the present moment count because we don't know what's to come, but this moment is to be lived alive. It seems that Jesus had the ability to totally live in the present. Not worried about the past, not anxious about the future. But where he was alive to every task he did, celebrating the goodness of life. And if that's not a recipe for happiness, I don't know what is. I remember once I saw a movie of the Gospel of Matthew. And the writer had taken some license. And right after one of Jesus' great speeches to his disciple, he walked over to a well to get a drink. And he grabbed the bucket and he splashed the disciples. And the disciples began an instantaneous water fight. And I thought, Jesus was fun. It kind of shocked me to watch him laughing and playing and giggling. You see, Jesus wanted his followers to have that sense of joy that comes from knowing that this life is a blessing from God. And the songs we sing help us either to celebrate that or to recover from the anxiety of life and let it go so that God can work in and through us. You know, I've got to tell you, I bet Jesus whistled a lot. But I do know that the joy of singing is not always what people experience. Sometimes people have to experience the sense of music that they like. So we have worship wars. Do you like the praise band or do you like the traditional choir? Do you like to hear the organ or the piano? Do you like a guitar and drums? What do you like? You know, I remember reading an ad for an organist and choir master who was trying to find the right church. And so she posted an ad, position wanted. Lifelong, militantly loyal, dyed-in-the-wool, traditional RC, seeks full-time position in pre-Vatican II urban worship. We'll consider the Tridentine. Blessed with a large church building designed by P.C. Keeley, a 19th century American pipe organ of three or four manuals, and most importantly, using or willing to implement the BACS hymnal with the hymns, psalms, and spiritual canticles. An all-male or professional mixed choir is a must. No volunteers. As is freedom from outside interference by liturgical committees, religious educators, or so-called vested interests. Prefer the Massachusetts, except for the Fall River Diocese, and will consider other areas in the Northeast. After reading that, I wondered, what was wrong with the Fall River Diocese? You gotta give her credit. She knew what she wanted. The truth is, music can soothe and can lift our spirits. It can take us to a different place. This, as Leela pointed out, in 1 week we're going to be experiencing VBS. And I love to watch our kids come up here. They give every kid a CD. And I can't tell you how many mothers have come to me in November and December and said, I hate you. Because my child wants that CD every time we're in the car. But it is so fun during the week to see the kids up here alive. As Robert Fulgham once said, you know, kindergartners will do lots of things that we as adults no longer do. And they have much more joy doing it. I was reminded of one story I heard about Vacation Bible School. All week long they led the children in the song, and maybe some of you know it, Deep and Wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. But on the last day of VBS, as the kids were now singing out loud, they stood up to sing before the church family. And this little girl, one of the littlest girls, was standing right next to the microphone. And you heard her sing very loud and very proudly, deep and wide, there's a fat man floating deep and wide. Jesus says, you can't add to your lifespan by worry. But we need to open ourselves to the divine optimism that God has us in His hands. And that's why we sing. We sing for joy. We sing to relieve the knowledge that a good God is guiding us into His kingdom. The antidote to worry, in my humble opinion, is whistling and singing and humming, because it shows a positive forward movement through the worries of life and a hope that Jesus has us in His arms and our best interest at heart. Amen.